We're going to be looking at Psalms in this period of August, and I'm going to look at Psalm 22 later, and part of that is about the crucifixion and death of Jesus, because the psalm reflects what happened to Jesus on the cross. So I'm reading from Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtains of the temple were torn in from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They'd followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. We thank God for his word. It's a difficult reading in that we remember that Jesus died, but we also hold on to that wonderful truth that Jesus rose from the dead. Linda, would you come, please?
Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me, and they hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you. Even at my mother's breast, from birth, I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my heart, to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All the descendants of Jacob, honour him, revere him. All you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to the people yet unborn, for he has done it.
I think I can say with 100% certainty that not one of us in this congregation have ever gone through life without having difficulty. But what we see in this psalm is David going through difficulty and still trying to praise. And that's what happens to us. We go through suffering and difficulty and hardship and things go wrong. And we want to praise God, but we don't know how and we don't know which way to go. Hopefully this psalm will give us some insight. Because there are moments in life when God does feel distant. When we pray, it feels like our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Suffering feels unexplainable and unfair. Faith seems fragile. And Psalm 22 begins in that place. And it opens with one of the most haunting lines in Scripture. One of the ones that brings out the most compassion in our hearts. My God, why have you forsaken me? Of course, these words are not only David's, they are the words of Jesus himself. He cried from the cross, and Psalm 22 is a journey from despair to deliverance, from abandonment to assurance, from the darkest valley to the brightest hope. Amazing that we have record of Jesus questioning the Father, and in doing so, he quotes David. This then becomes an identification with the human emotion of despair. My God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus knew that total despair on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like from one whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus knew the heights and depths of human emotion. Therefore, we can identify with him at all times. The psalm communicates to us Jesus' presence. Even when we despair, we can praise in the midst of difficulty. How did David feel? Well, from this psalm, we know that he felt forsaken. Psalm 23, the man who knew the closeness of God, also knew that terrible separation. Those two psalms taken together, you've got Psalm 23, which we all know, the Lord is my shepherd, this great praise, this great song of praise, and this song of desolation and desertion. That's why Jesus used this verse. It's a phrase that means, I have been deserted, I am totally alone. And I'm sure we can identify this, that sometimes we feel deserted and alone. And if we don't know that, then we know someone who does feel that, totally alone, feeling, not truth, feeling, totally deserted. Then we know that he was confused. It's a fallacy to say that true faith never doubts, never questions. It does. We have experiences that happen to us. People let us down. Our faith feels weak. Prayer seems dull. Church becomes tedious. We feel a million miles from God and we say, God, where are you? It is not a cry of unbelief. It is a cry of belief. God, I know that you are there. My God, my God. That personal declaration of faith. You are in my heart. I know that you are real, and yet I feel so deserted. The sun is still there in the midst of fog. Now, when we go to Filey, sometimes it looks like it's going to be a lovely day as we drive towards the coast. Then when we get there, there's a ha, and you can't see a hand in front of your face. But the sun is still there above the clouds. That reminds us that the triumph of faith is to realize that even when we feel isolated, confused, we know that God is there somewhere. Then we come on to what God asks for. Psalm 22, verse 19 says, but you, O Lord, you, O Lord, are not far off. Oh, my strength, come quickly to help me. C.S. Lewis, when he wrote his book, The Problem of Pain, he said, God whispers in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to a deaf world. Let me repeat that. God whispers in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to a deaf world. Nothing like pain or distress to make us reach for God quickly. It's often said, isn't there, that there is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. I had the pleasure one time at college to visit with Dame Cicely Saunders, who was the founder of the hospice movement. And she said, suffering is not a problem to be solved, but an experience that demands a presence. Suffering is not a problem to be solved, but an experience that demands our presence. Our first prayer in trouble should not be stop, God stop, nor save, but draw near. God, draw near. At the lowest point of his suffering, Job declares, though they slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. That's not blind faith. That's confidence in the face of adversity. Remember, Job lost everything. And yet he was able to say, still will I trust in my Redeemer. Nothing is bigger than God. Nothing can hide him from us. Secondly, David had taught God. God had taught David that he draws near in adversity. It takes time to record those times when God had been near and delivered him. David refused to let him believe God did not care about what was happening to him. He didn't even have the whole Bible like you and I do. But he knew that God was familiar with all our ways. David remembers those psalm words. Psalm 139, verse 3. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. God knows how you feel. God knows how you're dealing with your confusion and isolation, and he cares. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, the brilliant verse that says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's not just a nice little phrase that you can see on a poster. That is a promise from God. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. When present circumstances contradict past experiences of God's goodness, Scripture invites us to hold both honestly. Remembering God's past faithfulness is not denial. It is fuel for endurance. And then verse 22, see David's declaration. David comes through the bleak experience and turns to praise. How often has that been your experience? We agonize, we worry, and then one day, after days, weeks, months, we find we've survived. We've come through it. And we can put what has happened behind us. The human mind, of course, is very selective in its memory. We can remember the worst of times and the best of times in equal ease. We need, however, to train our minds to remember the goodness of God. But if we stop and pause and think for a moment, we should all be able to think of that moment when we knew the difficult time was over and it was finished. The time when the sun breaks through the clouds. A lifeguard on duty sees a struggling swimmer. He doesn't jump in immediately and go for that person who is struggling, but waits until the swimmer stops fighting the water. Only then can he rescue without being dragged under himself. God's timing is not to neglect. It is wisdom. And then lastly, the triumph of praise. This psalm ends not with despair, not with giving up, not with failing, but with the words which are echoing throughout the nation, throughout the nations, throughout the world. He has done it. Beautiful words. All ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, says David. Future generations will be told of the Lord, he says. They will proclaim his righteousness, he cries. That psalm that begins with, "Why have you forsaken me?" ends with, "He has done it." And these words echo Jesus' final cry in John's Gospel, "It is finished." In a symphony, the opening movement may be minor, heavy, and dissonant, but the last movement resolves into beauty and triumph. Psalm 22 is a spiritual symphony. It begins in a minor key but ends in glorious major. Your story, my story, may begin with pain, but in Christ it ends with praise. God writes stories that move from darkness to light, from sorrow to joy, from crucifixion to resurrection. And again, David is the one who wrote in Psalm 30, verse 5, "For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." God's promise is that faith will always triumph. It may take time. Maybe all our life. But Jesus defeated death, and the sorrow of this world can only have a temporary effect on us. So in conclusion, the psalm ends with this declaration that it should have echoed around the world as it did in the heavens, when just a short while after Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" he says, "Tetelestai. It is finished." Psalm 22 is not just David's story, it's Jesus' story, it's our story. Because it's Jesus' story, it becomes our story. So when you feel forsaken, he understands. When you feel mocked, he's been there. When you feel broken, he was pierced. When you feel alone, he is with you. When you feel hopeless, he has already done it. He has won. This phrase, "he has done it," is one that I want you to go away with this morning. It's a Hebrew phrase, "ki asa," which can be understood for "it is done." And Jesus may have had this verse in mind when he said, "It is finished," tetelestai in Greek. He died on the cross and he said these words, "It is done." And because he has done it, you can trust in him in every valley, every storm, every silence, and every sorrow. Let's pray together. Father, it is our experience that when difficulty comes, we often feel that you're far away. But this psalm reminds us that if we seek to praise you in that time, we can remember that you have done it. You've put an end to death. You've put an end to suffering. You've put an end to what this world is going through in turmoil today. You have done it. And Lord, as we come to a communion table shortly, we come to remember that tetelestai promise that is echoed through the universe throughout the ages. He has done it. Hear us in this, we pray. Amen.